All right, we're talking about the kingdom. And we're going to begin with chapter 3 in Matthew, just where we began earlier today. And we're going to work from there. Begin with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We understand that there can be no kingdom without the king. And the very fact that the kingdom is at hand means the king is at hand too. We cannot separate the king and the kingdom. And I'm afraid that Christians oftentimes have a tendency to do that. And they think of the kingdom as coming or as being here, however they look at it, but the king and his kingdom is at hand. However, it's going to take some discernment and awareness to realize that. It's one thing to say, "Well, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I know because the Bible tells me so." But we realize that when Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked him if he was a king, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world." The kingdom of God is not of the world of man. Yet at the same time, in John 17, when he was asked when the kingdom should come, he says the kingdom comes without observation. Well, you cannot see it. You cannot observe it by any of the senses that are known by man. It's unobservable by man. But he went on to say, "But the kingdom of God is within you." Some translations say the kingdom of God is among you. He said the kingdom of God is within you. But you can't take that statement and say, "Well, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within us, so the kingdom is within me." We realize that Jesus said things that were not. I explain what I mean by that. It's like Romans 4:17. God calls things that are not as though they are. And that's how it happens. And a number of times we see in the Gospels where someone wanted healing, or someone to be raised from the dead, or some great disease, or for the blind to be healed, whatever the case was. And many times Jesus said, "According to your faith." But that doesn't mean that their faith did it. It means that him saying, "According to your faith," did it. There's a difference. So when he says the kingdom of God is within you, that means it's a provision. And that's the same thing that John the Baptist is saying here: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That kingdom can be in you. Can you believe for it? Can you accept that? Well, if you want it, then do the first thing he said: repent. Wherever you are, repentance precedes the experiencing of it. You don't experience it without the repentance. And you realize that just one repentance doesn't do it. You say, "I repent of my sins, therefore I'm forgiven, and I'm ready to go to heaven." Oh, wait a minute, not that quick. For you see there are various stages, levels, realms, very, very many steps that you take and reaching God, and each one is preceded by repentance. So it's not a one-time repentance, but every time you make progress, it begins with repentance. And so John the Baptist here is saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that means that the king is at hand too. You want to experience the coming of the Lord, then it's going to require some repentance. All right, let's turn over to chapter 4. Now, in the fourth chapter, see that chapter 3 is the coming of John the Baptist and his preaching of the kingdom. And chapter 4 talks about Jesus going into the wilderness and being tempted by Satan. And then about halfway through that chapter, Jesus begins his ministry. It begins with verse 17 of chapter 4. From that time, this is the very beginning and the outset of his ministry here. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, John the Baptist said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and repent, for the king and his kingdom is at hand." And Jesus, who is the king, comes along and says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, the king is at hand there too. And it's amazing how that the king walked in their midst and ministered, and even among the 12 disciples that were with him for 3.5 years, for the most part, didn't recognize him. Can you imagine? All those Pharisees, now they're standing looking at him and complained about him and didn't know who he was. They didn't see the king. The disciples walking with him really didn't have the real revelation of him either, as they should have. But here he is. He's given forth the same message that John the Baptist did, is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then beginning with the very next verse, 18, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon, and who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were fishermen, and he calls them. And very shortly after that, you see where he calls John and James, the sons of Zebedee, and calls them into ministry. And then in verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching what?
Gospel.
The gospel of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You get the idea that maybe that's what we should be ministering. John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Jesus comes along, same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's not just that one time. He goes all about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues. The gospel of the kingdom is at hand, you see. Mm. The kingdom has become a buzzword among many religious churches of today. If a Christian's talks about the kingdom, why, he's a little more spiritual than other people, or super spiritual. But just talking about the kingdom doesn't do anything. It's experiencing it. Ministering to, I kept trying to explain to him and to show him. And say, it's fine to talk about the Lord, but you can't really get the message of the Lord out until you experience his life in you. Right. And that's what it means in the book of Acts. They all received the Holy Spirit, and what did they do? They went out and they ministered the resurrected Lord. They didn't just talk about, well, we know Jesus was resurrected because we walked with him. And after he was dead and buried and rose on the third day, we talked with him. I can tell you, he's resurrected. No, the resurrected Lord in them. And the way it has to be with us, it's not enough to just talk about the kingdom. Experience the kingdom. And then let that kingdom emanate out from you. And if the kingdom is emanating out from you, so is the king. In fact, if the king isn't emanating out from you, neither is his kingdom. People think of the coming of the Lord. They think about the coming of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Individual, singular. Jesus is coming.
Right.
You. It's not just him. Enoch said, "I saw the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints." Not just coming with them, but coming in them and through them. Oh, man. That's good. Where did I say he was going? Matthew 10.
Okay.
Verse 1, he calls the 12 disciples, and King James here says he gave them power against unclean spirits. The Greek word there is authority. He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. It's authority that works in the spirit realm, not power. He calls his 12 disciples. A disciple is a learner. Those that are walking with and those that are in the Jesus class. You know, they're learning about Jesus. They're his disciples. But he gives them authority. And then the next couple of verses tells who these disciples are. In verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. Don't go into the way of the Gentiles. We're going to stay in the way of Christ. And do not go into the city of the Samaritans, enter you not. Verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, think of this in terms of how it was then. Israel, or Judea, if you want to put it that way, this is God's chosen people. They are the people of God. It's not talking about the Germans or the English or anything else. These were the chosen people of God. Okay? In other words, bring it up today, you would say this would be the Christian world. That Christians are the people of God today. So what Jesus is telling them then, in our today's English would be, go to the house of Christianity. See, go to the Christians, the Christian world. And do we realize today that the most important ministry, as far as the ministry of Christ is concerned, is to be ministered to the church world. Religious Christianity. They are the lost sheep of the Christian world. They're the ones that God is raising up, the people of his kingdom. Those that he gives authority to minister to these lost sheep of Christianity. And verse 7 says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You get the feeling they're always taking what Christians have placed into the future and bringing it out of the future and say, it's now. It's for now. It's for now. It's not for another day. How many messages we send out says the same thing, and we have a hard time understanding it. You can't walk in the future. Mm-hmm. You can't experience the future. It has to be a present thing. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 23:13, Jesus said, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You won't enter in, and you don't let others enter in. Mm-hmm. And the way they did that was they talked about what God did in the past and what Messiah is going to do in the future when he comes back. But it shut up the present.
Yes.
And the ministry of Christ and the ministry of his disciples is constantly saying, it's at hand. It's out of the future and into the present. It's for now. You can experience it now. But we have to wait for Jesus to come back. What makes you think he's gone? Mm-hmm. He said, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the earth. It's a matter of becoming aware of what is. Now, as Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If you're looking for the kingdom to be of the world of man, you'll never see it. It's like one of those disciples asked Jesus, and this took place just prior to Pentecost. He'd already been crucified, buried, dead, resurrected, And in the first chapter of Acts, one of these disciples said, Lord, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? No, it's not of man. It's not of Israel. It's not of Christianity. It's of another realm. We have a hard time understanding. If people would just read and understand what Ephesians 2 and 3 talks about, particularly 2, where Paul says that God is making a new man. He doesn't take the Jews and make them Christians, and he doesn't take the Christians and make them Jews, but he takes the Jews and the Christians and makes them together into one new man, which is Christ. His kingdom is not of this world. And you, as long as you hang on to the things of this world, what are you doing? You're digging your heels in and say, I want the kingdom, but you're digging your heels in and won't go into it. And he said, it's now. We're going to have to accept the kingdom and the king in a spiritual form that is present, it's here, but it's not of this world. It's not a many-membered Israel. It's not a many-membered Christianity. It's a many-membered Christ, a new creation. But he tells them, as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm coming right back to Tim, but I'm going to go back here just a little bit back to where Jesus was doing his ministry. I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, where it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then it says, healing all manner of sickness and manner of disease among the people. What people is that? Among his people. Among the people of God. Mm. He healed all manner of sickness and disease. Oh, let's back up into chapter 9 here a little bit. 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. And we know what he was teaching and preaching. It was the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Okay? Now, go down to back to chapter 10. He tells the disciples, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now this I feel like is very important. This is all one ministry here. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. There are no healthy people. There are no healthy people, even among Christians. They're not healthy. We think of healing like this, and what the mind goes to Benny Hinn, or Marc Sorello, or some big name guy, Oral Roberts. There's many kind of sicknesses. There's sickness of the physical body. Mm-hmm. There's sickness of the soul. There's sickness of the spirit. That's the reason that at times when he says all manner of sickness and diseases. Cleanse the lepers. Leprosy was not thought of as a disease. It was an uncleanness. And a leper was not allowed in the crowded areas. And he'd have to go by saying, unclean, unclean. When he would go to the priest, and the priest would do what he's supposed to do, and if the leprosy left, he would pronounce him clean. There's many Christians today that have a spiritual leprosy because a certain portion of their life that is not clean. not just the physical body, but something of their soul that is not clean, something of their spirit that is not clean. I remember an evangelist in the Assemblies of God preached on this one time. And this is the first verse in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, so who's he talking to? The dearly beloved Christians, people in the church. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and all filthiness of the spirit. Now I remember him saying, he read that and he said, I don't understand what that can mean, filthiness of spirit, if you're a Christian. Well, I can tell you what it means. It means that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean your spirit is clean. See, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that's what he's talking about. Cleanse the lepers. You don't realize how vast. You get some doctor that knows the anatomy and all the workings of the body to tell you about all the workings of the body and how, man, it's a very vast thing. Mm-hmm. Complicated. And all the many little intricacies and the little things that can happen to the physical body. Well, think about your soul life. Your soul is the expression of what you are in your nature. You got any idea how vast and comprehensive your nature is? Mm-hmm. All right. How about your spirit? Your spirit is not just one little one little thing. Your spirit, and your spirit has a way to just expand. There's many parts to all your parts, many parts of the physical body, your soul life, your spirit, everything. So when it talks about cleanse the lepers, all the many different areas of your being, of this body of mine, my fleshly body, my soul, and my spirit is a world. Rebecca is a world. And when two worlds collide, you understand what I'm saying? It took us a long time to... We're so different. And you know, what is that book? Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. Mm-hmm. And they're two different species. It's a world. I'm a world. And my gosh, you're talking, there's a whole universe in here. A lot of different ways to have leprosy.
Mm-hmm. Well, leprosy was when the skin dies, isn't it? That was my understanding of leprosy, is when the tissue begins to die, and then it...
Yeah, the area where the leprosy is, death works.
Death. Mm. So if you have leprosy of the spirit, it could be a dead area.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm. Yes.
Of the spirit.
Okay. Raise the dead. Can't you imagine one of these churches? Yeah. You're sent out by the Lord. I'm here to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead.
Raise the dead.
There are dead people in here. Well,
yeah,
Paul talked about those who are dead in trespasses and sin.
Yes.
There's a lot of walking dead people. There's certain areas of their life can be dead. I've experienced that, and I've got a feeling probably everybody else had that has any awareness of themselves. So, raise the dead, cast out devils. Did you notice that these are the type of things that Jesus did to those who were chosen of God? He healed all manner of sickness and disease. He cleansed lepers. He opened blind eyes, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He raised the dead, and he cast out devils. Let me paint a picture. Here we got one man, Jesus. The disciples ain't moving in this thing yet very much. They went on this one missionary journey. But most part, how many times did somebody come to Jesus and say, listen, I brought my son, he's a lunatic, and your disciples couldn't do anything. One man. Now, when Jesus went to Galilee, he didn't take a taxi, catch a bus. He walked. And when he was there on the Mount, giving the Sermon on the Mount, and the multitude camped around there, he didn't have a megaphone. He didn't have some of the good equipment that we have today in the churches so the voice can get out. What I'm trying to tell you is you had one man, and he was doing a tremendous work. You got any idea? There's times when it says he was in their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, healing all manner of every citizen's disease. And if he went around laying hands on every individual and bringing a healing and whatever, and the way it's done today, he would never get the job done. There was something more happening, something more taking place. Mm-hmm. We get an inkling of what that was when he's walking and there's a crowd about him, and this woman says, if I can just touch his clothes, I know I'll be healed. And she worked through the crowd and touched his garment. Virtue went out. She was healed. And Jesus said, who touched me? Something emanating out from him.
Yes.
She touched it. If you took all of the preachers that we got in this country that actually believes Christ can heal and send them out to lay hands on, they're not going to get the job done. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's not enough time to lay hands on every individual. Something is going to have to happen whether that kingdom of God and the King comes forth in our lives, and there's an emanation of Him out from us to the place that people are touched by that, and their lives are changed.
Right.
Their diseases and sicknesses are healed, and lepers are cleansed, and dead are raised up. And John chapter 5, Jesus said, the day will come when they shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and the dead shall rise and they'll live.
Mm.
Isn't that what it says? That's DeBose translation, but that's pretty close there.
Yeah.
They'll hear the voice. They hear the voice. And I get a feeling that voice is going out. The voice is going out. Those who hear it, there'll be those who hear this, they're not even here. And if they really hear it, change will come to their life. I don't think there's any other way that this can happen. That's why he says, preach the gospel of the kingdom, the King and his kingdom. And then these healings begin to take place. But this healing the sick, cleanses the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give, takes place with the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom and his King. No fanfare. No big name. They're not looking for a big name. But they like verse 36 in chapter 9. This is what follows when he says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease. Verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Now they may not know they were fainting, but they fainted. And they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And you think about it. All of Christianity is that way today. Fainted. And they're scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. What do you mean sheep without a shepherd? Man, they got shepherds in every church. Preacher here, preacher there, preacher everywhere. Here a preacher, there a preacher. But they don't have any real shepherds. And the sheep are scattered. And then in verse 37, he turns to his disciple and he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He said, disciples, start praying for God to send forth laborers. And then he turned around and said, and you go, I'm giving you authority, you go do this. And you preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you heal the sick. cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. You do all these things. Where, Lord? Among my people. There just isn't enough people. There isn't enough.